Hi, Wonder Stars. I'm Ebony Freeman, and this is Wonder Stars of the Universe. This week, I am talking to Minso Kim, who is an artist, educator, and fellow Boulder-based experimenter in arts and technology. We are talking about her upcoming exhibit, new conference papers, and tips for creating art at the intersection of engineering, construction, painting, industrial design, and environmental theory. In combination, these can be intimidating words. But Minso tells the inspiring story of how she discovered each in isolation and combined them through community. I'm glad you're here to experience her wonder magic with me. Welcome to Wonder Star Tuesday. I'm so excited to have you here. Who are you?
Oh. So, my name is Minso Kim, M-I-N-S-O, Kim, K-I-M. I have to spell it out, otherwise people mispronounce my name. I'm an artist and educator, and so for right now, I'm a PhD candidate at CU Boulder.
Ooh.
At the Department of Critical Media Practices. Maybe that could be it. Oh, and I'm originally from Seoul, South Korea, but I studied in Chicago for 2 years, and then I'm doing my PhD in here, Boulder.
That's amazing. Your life is so exciting. So, where does the name Minso come from?
Excuse me?
Where does your name come from?
Oh, my name come from? My name comes from my original language, Korean. And it has some meanings behind. So, it was like bright and clear. Yes.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
And then we were just talking before we hopped on about the craziest week that you're having.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what's on your docket this week.
Oh my God.
I think you got 4 big ones.
Yes, I have 4 big ones that I'm trying to finish it up. I'm not sure whether I can make it or not. All of them. So first thing is that I'm going to participate in a group exhibition at the Museum of Boulder from this Friday. We're going to show some like exhibits about the nature, technology, media, artworks. So please swing by and see some works over there. And my second deadline would be my proposal for my dissertation. Today, I'm going to meet my advisor to sort out the next step, move forward. And the third deadline that I'm having is, like, I don't know, conference paper. Yes, conference paper for International Symposium on Electronic Arts that happens next year, which I love. I love that, like, symposium because they always changing their location every year, so you can travel with the symposium. They mainly talk about arts and technology, media, artwork, so I love that symposium venue, so I'm trying to shoot some shots, if I can make it by this Friday. And the last one is I'm trying to, like, applying for the fellowship. I need to figure it out with my advisor, but that's kind of my goal, is to finish all of this, like, by Friday. So these like past few weeks were kind of a hectic weeks, but I really like being hectic.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Also, so we're just going to hit those right in order because I couldn't have planned it better. I'm like, I want to know about your life. You're giving me every little thing about your life. I love it. So one theme I'm kind of hearing throughout all of these is electronic and arts. Mm-hmm. So why are you interested in that? What brought you to it?
Oh, the first experience of using the electronics in the artwork was about like a sound performance piece. Because I was volunteering this like a sound festival in Seoul back in like 2008 or something.
When What's the sound festival?
It was about for the sound art festival, like only for the sound art, not just the music, but also includes these like sound. It is artistic form of sound installation performance piece altogether. At the time, I was doing the artist assistance for Tetsuo Kogawa when he was make a visit, and I was just following behind him and trying to like figuring out some electronic parts he needs and trying to like backing him up for the like conversation a little bit. Back at the time, I could speak a little bit of Japanese, but now I forget lots of words. Oh. So like, but yeah, ever since then, I try to work with the electronic parts that I built with him at the time.
How did you build them?
He did a workshop during the festival, and then I had a chance to make my own circuit board with him.
Did you know electrical engineering beforehand?
I had no idea at all. He was kind of my beginning point to think about using the electronic parts in my work. And then I tried to make a self-study through the people who I met through the festival.
Oh, what do you mean?
I could met many like faculty members from other universities who using the electronic parts for their media art practice. Because I was in a painting department.
Oh.
Yeah, so my original background is museum studies and paintings. So my practices are like mostly watercolor, charcoals, or pencil drawings, or the oil paintings, or installation, mainly with the making things.
So how does a painter hear about an electronic engineering project that's Japanese while living in South Korea? So yes, like how does that story even start?
I don't know. I just like participating like lots of volunteering work. And then like I just loved using like learning and using languages. So like I did many like translator, like English translator like volunteering work back there, and then I wanted to like practice a little more with my Japanese, so I signed up for the volunteering work because I didn't know about him.
Wait, that's so cool. So a painter is a translator, became an electro artist because you love volunteering. Can you be a beautiful person? Oh my gosh. You sound like Santa Claus. Like I feel like you're just giving gifts everywhere.
Thank you very much for that comment.
Of course. And you know, I'd love to learn more about how did that experience translate into your current work with Boulder Experiments in Arts and Technology? How did you hear about them? And did you feel fully prepared for that world when you jumped into it?
Well, actually, like I've been told about this BEATS group from my friend who recently graduated, like Angie Ang. She moved out from the town.
Angie Ang?
Yes.
A-N-G-I-E-E-N-G?
Yeah,
Angie. Wait, I just heard about her yesterday.
Oh!
What? Okay, tell me more.
Yeah, so she always told me that, like, she was living in Boulder, like, a few years before me, because she was doing her PhD degree as well. And then she commented me, like, oh, you should, like, join the BEAT group. They know lots of like electronic arts and do lots of electronic art installation. They may be helpful information for you, and also you can be helpful information to them. So I just think about it, and then I could met the Jiffer
Harriman.
And I asked some like electronic parks, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, because I was making a new project
What was
that? In a small one. It was about, I think it was about, it can be either Pop Number 5 or Ivy Curtain Project that I was doing.
Oh, what's Ivy Curtain Project?
So the Ivy Curtain is the second advanced version of the Pop Number 5. And I'm trying to make an, I made up a word for like alternative.
Yes.
Plant robot things. Yay! So like these day people making robots that interact with human being, right? But I think in real natural environment, nature doesn't really care. Mm-hmm. They just live their own life. Mm-hmm. So I try to make this like a seemingly random movements. I'm trying to mimic the seemingly random movement of plants.
Ooh.
Into some like artificial materials that I'm like weaving all together.
You're weaving?
Yes, I'm literally sewing some electrical like wires to make sure they are functioning. Yeah. Yeah, so the ivy curtain is kind of mimicking the way of the movement or the foliage of the plants on the wall. Yeah, in a curtain form. Yes, so I made a like a design proposal at the Human Computer Interaction Conference beginning of this year.
HCI is really hot right now.
Yes. Yeah. So I could demonstrate how it works, and I published the short paper for the like what the concept is and how it works with the short explanation of like what kind of components I use. Yeah. So I think if anybody interested in like robotics in an artistic way, then you can Google my name at the HCI conference, and you can find some like documentation videos and the short conference papers.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, too interesting of a human.
Yay!
Oh my gosh. So, and all of this work was based on the fact that you had these pieces of your brain that are artistic, electronic, human-computer interaction. You had all this holed up in your brain. You sound like the perfect person for B. What was that first interaction like? And you mentioned that it felt like it was a very mutual benefit because you had a lot to give and they had a lot to gain from your insights. What was that first experience like?
First inspirations like
with B.
With Beat?
Yes.
Oh, with Beat. They're really like open to embrace new ideas, I think, and try to embrace new people as well. Even if you are a newcomer, they don't really like do some like territorial like offensiveness. They're trying to be more engaged and make more conversation with them to figure out when and which venue would fit with this particular artist to work with for the next events they organize. So I think they're being really like engaging and embracing.
Oh, I love that. And so I also feel like for you to value those assets in a group, it also shows that those are part of your own personality. You will value openness and welcoming, and you're also super ridiculously smart, and you also know so many languages. So why, this is the big question for today, why does a person who has all of what you got going on decide to do a PhD? Because it almost seems like you didn't really need one, because you had the connections, you had the papers behind you, you had so much. Why is it worthwhile for someone to pursue a PhD when they got all this going on?
I don't think I'm smart or something. It is always important to learn things every day. Because every day is different, and every day we are all move forward in some way. So, like, even though I say, like, oh, I did that, but it is all in the past. And I think the past experience makes me being to choose a direction where I am right now, but it does not really define what I can do right now. So I think, so that's why I'm trying to meet people outside of my departments to learn something that I don't know about. And I just like learning new things. Even if I'm not good at it or I cannot be good at it, it is always good to know something is going on outside of my like artistic like world. Like, yeah, I'm always thinking something in a, I don't know, like a strange or the outside of like normal way, but at the same time I want to be on earth. So like, I need somebody else give me the vibe that to bring me back to the earth. So yeah, so I think that's why I love to meet people through beat who has lots of backgrounds from computers, engineering, or the like a radio podcaster right here, also like the broadcasting systems or filmmakers and like everybody else. Yeah, they're all my teachers and my companies at the same time.
You sound amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm feeling all the feelings. Okay, so your group exhibit is this Friday. Is this your first time exhibiting with a group?
In Boulder, I can say it is my second group exhibition. Like, but it is my first group exhibition at a fixed venue.
What do you mean?
Because I participated in the community art piece during the pandemic, the Bunny Project.
I've never heard.
Oh, it was kind of a like a bunch of different artists draw some bunny or making a bunny figures and distribute at the Paul Street stores to make sure people have a like a positive vibe of the like cuteness of the bunny during the pandemic season, because lots of windows of the stores were quite empty. And like people who organize this bunny project wants to give a whole community being a little bit being a bright, you know, during this dark moment. So I draw some bunnies on a wooden panel and I gave it to the organizer and they placed my bunny at the boxcar.
Super cool.
Yeah. So for a while my drawing was there. So that was my first like Boulder exhibition. But this Boulder Museum is more like a museum piece or the exhibition venue, so I can say this is my first like a group exhibition participation in Boulder.
That sounds super. Apologies, I'm saying kawaii.
Kawaii.
Yeah. So cute. How did you hear about that?
So one of the organizer for the like
bunny
project was Angie. So
okay, so Angie's definitely like important like, here.
Angie said like, do you want to do it? And I said, sure, I can draw. Like that's my background. So I can draw some stuff. Like yeah, so that's how.
Angie sounds kind of amazing. Might have to connect with her later.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next big thing that you brought up was a dissertation proposal. Mm-hmm. What's your dissertation on? Also, what is a dissertation?
Oh, so dissertation means... So when you want to graduate the like master's degree or PhD degree, then you need to write up certain amount of page number of explanation. So what's your research interest is. And master's degree, like you guys saying like thesis as part of the requirements for graduating that degree. And for the PhD degree, we need to call the longer version of thesis, and we call it a dissertation.
No way. I've heard both those words used interchangeably. Yes. Turns out they are not interchangeable. Thank you for clarifying. So what's your dissertation on?
My dissertation is about the related to the biophilia.
What does that mean?
Yes, it's so interesting, right? So biophilia means it is an urge to being connected to the nature or the living other or other living organisms in a natural space.
So bolder.
Yeah, it is, right? And like my points from that concept is like a revulsion. Because the Edward Wilson, who popularized the term biophilia, that's like said, like trying to defining it, because it is kind of a not super old concept to go with. Who was the first one? Like somebody called Fromm. He first suggested the term biophilia in 1970s, and then Edward Wilson tried to popularize that terms in 1980s, and now lots of like robotics, architecture and design, bioethics fields trying to define what biophilia means are. However, this is kind of biophilia doesn't only means the philia, the love or affection, but also includes the meanings of like accompanying feelings revulsion, because even though you want to be engaged with the natural components, but at the same time you have a little bit of fears, what if this natural components give us a harm,
like mushrooms?
Yes, yeah. That's a good example to think about. Yes. So people trying to say that this love, I cannot say hate, but liking and distastefulness can come all together. So I'm trying to focusing on the how this revulsion that comes from the biophilia as an accompanying feeling affecting like us humans' perception of like a new technology base, like media works that using the living organisms. So,
That is really interesting. And like, my brain immediately mapped onto mushrooms because I think about the fact that they're a delicacy in so many cultures and communities, and they're delicious for some people. They can also kill us super easily. Sometimes they don't even have to try really hard. They can just be around us, so we can breathe in their spores and we can die.
Yes.
So that's horrifying.
Yes, exactly. That's so right. Yes. So some people, like, it was Stuart Kellert, I think, like S. Kellert. I don't remember his first name, but he tried to like defining this like repulsive feelings as a biophobic.
Oh.
Yeah. But like, so he thinks that we humans innately learn that nature can give us the good and bad. So he's trying to like understand this repulsive feelings in biophilia as like evolutionary theory approach. Like, we trying to like adjusting ourselves, our lifestyles in nature by, you know, through learning experiences. So when you see something else, you can have both loving and avoidance at the same time to decide like either eat it or not. Or yeah.
Oh my gosh. Love it or not, sounds like my last relationship, just kidding. So how does one decide to focus on that, and what specifically about biophilia is your dissertation on? Because I love that you gave me the overview, but I'm thinking about how do we make this real? Like, what is it really?
So it is one of my example work, example that I'm trying to identify the cycles of this like a revulsion.
Wait, there's cycles?
Yeah, I think there is a cycle of the feeling, because like I think we are all like love each other, right? And I think this like revulsion can transform into like neutral feelings, or even the like another step forward type of like a love can appear in media art pieces. So one of the examples that I'm going to analyze to identify such cycle is like a film. So
really?
Yes, films. Oh. So what was this? The very first digital captured animation was a Polar Express that published in 2004.
Wait, that Christmas movie?
Yes.
I love that movie. Right.
Christmas is coming. Yay. So it was kind of the first digital captured movie with the real human being. Yes. And because it was kind of the first of its kind technology, when it first came to the public, people say it is so creepy because it was so awkward back at the time. And that causes people didn't want to see the movie at the whole time. Mm. However, I figure like these days, like viewers love to watching the movie, right? So I think this kind of like, as over time, as we adjust ourselves to watching this like digital captured movie,
comfort level with it?
Yeah, comfort level is getting like getting higher and higher with this. First it was seemingly strange, but now it's getting looking nice. Yeah, not only just because the technology's advancement, but also ourselves being adjusted with this new technology. Now it is just a normal technology. So I felt that these kind of starting from the revulsion to the neutral or the liking feelings that comes from the use of the human bodies in digital space with technology can give us the reference to understand the cycle of revulsion to the normalization. And yeah, that is one of the examples that I'm going to use in my dissertation. And there is another examples will follow in my book.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And also I appreciate that I'm starting to really feel how tech is influencing so much of it, because it reminds me of the industry life cycle and new adopters and laggards, and the fact that that first digital animation, oh my gosh, now that you're saying that, I was kind of creepy. It was a little creepy. Good. But I still felt excited to be an early adopter of that technology, but I can also understand what you're saying about how the chasm between the first people who initially were excited about it to the nowadays when we're like, oh, everything's practically digital, that time period was longer than possibly expected because of your philia phobia mechanisms.
Right,
that's super helpful. And now we're going to shift on to your conference paper.
Ooh.
What is your conference paper? What is the conference? Everything.
So the conference venue that I'm targeting right now is International Symposium and Electronic Arts.
Is that related to EA, the games company?
No, it is not.
Okay.
It's not. So this venue is focuses on the electronic art, electronic media art pieces, mainly.
What is an electronic art media piece?
That's a good point. So anything that using the circuit board, or even if it is a video piece, it is also considered electronic art because it using electricity. The any media art that use electricity can be called electronic arts for that venue, I guess. Yeah. And the conference paper is like partially about example work that I'm going to analyze in my dissertation right now. So my dissertation is kind of a collection of my conference papers that
I've been writing. Oh, super smart. Super smart. Yes.
So at this venue, I'm trying to focusing on, what was it about? Right now, I'm writing many.
Tell me just one of them.
Okay.
Any of them.
Yes. So it is about the yuk factor.
Wait, I've heard of this. What is that again?
Yes. Yuk factor is kind of a description of like things that you, things that make you feel like repulsive feelings.
Oh, you're really into repulsion.
Yeah, like because it all comes from the nature, but we only focusing on the positive sides for now. But I think positive sides can be highlighted by having the shadow behind that. Mm-hmm. And I think those can make a nice symbiotic relationship. So that's why I'm trying to like using the both like loving and distastefulness of the biophilia. So, but the term yuk factor comes from bioethics. Oh. Yeah. It is kind of a not a, it first came out with the like we have a gut feeling, right? We gut feeling, and this gut feeling can make us to do some moral decision. That is kind of a basic like definition people might making. But as time passes, since our society going move forwards and technology move forwards, this gut feeling can be changed, right? But in bioethics field, this like yuk factor has been like changing their like terms into many different ways. However, people just thinking about the instantaneous of these repulsive feelings and describe it with their terms. Like bioethics, they're using a yuk factor. Robotics, they're focusing on the uncanny valley as a repulsive feeling.
Oh my gosh, you're so smart. Oh my gosh. Okay, keep going.
Yes. Thank you. And these terms are only focusing on the instantaneous of people's viewers' reactions towards the media art pieces. However, to me, I'd love to identify the cycle of like the fadeness of this repulsion.
So that spell it for me, fakeness?
Fading.
Fadingness.
Yes, fadingness.
Oh, what do you mean?
Like to me, this like emotional transition from repulsion to normalization is the feelings of revulsions is fade away. And the love behind this revulsion appear to the surface over time. So that's why we are accepting them as a normal in our near future, in current compared to the past.
Do you feel like all repulsion has love behind it? That's a big
I think that's a really big statement, but I'm not sure, but
there might be.
There might be.
I feel like that's something we're gonna have to have like a whole other podcast episode about.
Maybe next time you have to host some like a philosopher to think about love and hate dynamics or something.
Oh my gosh, it reminds me of that Taylor Swift lyric where she was like, I forgot that you existed. It's not even that I like don't like you or don't love you anymore. It's just I forgot that you existed. And I think about the fact that love, the opposite of love isn't hate. It's like you don't care at all.
Right.
Indifference.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I love conferences. I feel like your summit, your presentation will be over my head, and now I'm super hyped to go. Remind us the name. What is this conference again?
Conference is International Symposium on Electronic Arts.
And you're going to obviously get it, obviously.
I have to write it.
No, we're 100% sure here. So where is it? When is it? When can we see you?
Oh, Like this year, that symposium happens, not this year, the next year, this conference will happen in Spain. So if you guys are interested to applying to showing some of your artworks or showing some of your conference work, then that will be your summer destination.
Okay, I feel like you also are secretly a travel guide. You called it a summer destination. I'm gonna pack my swimsuit.
Oh yeah.
So we're on our next to last piece here. So you mentioned a fellowship. What is a fellowship, and what is the one that you're specifically applying for?
Oh,
and why?
Why?
Because you're so involved.
So this fellowship. Well, I need to talk with my advisor first. However, yeah. But this fellowship for the completing the dissertation, because like for now I'm on the first semester of my fourth year right now, and my funding can last for 4 years, so I really need some like a backup plans after my 1 year period, and I think I can give a shot to try to like funding my like extra 1 year PhD study.
Awesome. Yeah. And what's the name of the fellowship?
Sorry?
What's the name of the fellowship?
It is for the dissertation completion fellowship.
It's through Literally. CU Boulder?
Yeah, through the CU Boulder.
Okay, so we have to send them this episode. So just in case they don't understand how smart you are, they're going to fully understand it now after this episode. I love it. I'm here for it. Okay, so we are near the last two questions. Okay, so what kind of person should apply for a PhD at the intersection of tech and art?
Oh, that's a really good question. Oh, well, actually, I think people who want to be in academia to give or share your experiences to your students or your future colleagues, then it may be the way to having the, it is good to have a PhD for the artistic way of, like people who are using electronic pieces for artistic ways, because it is hard. I don't know. Yeah.
But you learn a ton.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you're able to share those learnings.
Right.
Got it.
Yes. And also, if someone who is willingly to learn something outside of your field, then I think PhD program will be really helpful. Because during the undergrad level, we can just focusing on the department where are you interested in to get a job that related to the field. And the master's degree is kind of a little more in-depth study of that particular department studies, right? But I think a PhD level is going back to the starting points to finding the new connection between your field and another related field. Mm. So it is more like an interdisciplinary studies to finding the new knowledge. So if you are interested in finding new connection between your study and other people's study, then I think PhD degree can be kind of your pathway.
Okay, CU definitely owes you money. You just described that so well. I'm half convinced to apply for a PhD now. This wasn't the goal. Okay, absolute last question. You've been fantastic. Choose a number 1 through 6.
Well, why? Four?
Beautiful. Okay. Who is your warmest wonder star? And that could be anyone in your life a wonder star is someone in your life who's had a profound impact. And warmest, you get to take that however you want. That could mean that they are hot and spicy, and every time you see them, you get just so excited. Or it could be someone who just makes you feel so much love in yourself, or someone who's literally warm. Like, every time you touch them, they're burning up, and you're, like, very concerned for their health. Like, you can take that any way you want.
Oh, my star. My wonder star. I could say my grandmother.
Oh. Tell me about her. Home.
Yeah. She a few years ago, she was diagnosed with the dementia. So she's in a care center right now, back in my home. So, but she always gave me to think about the positive side, and she always being like encouraged me to this like artistic path, and even this academic like career path as well. So yeah, I think she could be my warmest like inspiration stars.
Oh yeah.
And I literally like to staring at stars too, like, yeah.
Okay, so you're a real wonder star. Okay. This has been fantastic, Minso. I love this. Where can people find you?
You can find me through emails, or you can find my name through the CMCI.
What does that stand for?
College of Media, Communication, and Information at CU Boulder website, particularly Department of Critical Media Practices website.
I love it. And then, do you have a website? I feel like I saw your website.
Yes, I have a website, but I'm currently like under construction. Ooh. So it's like I can share my website, like temporary website address through email.
I love it. Okay.
My email address is minso.kim@colorado.edu.
I love it. Okay. Have a wonderful rest of your Wonder Star Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Emily. This is kind of a new experience with you. It was so glad. Happy time.
Yay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, y'all, is it just me, or do you want to hear a ton more about how artists on the fringes are building their philosophy, creations, and community? Well, you can get a heavy taste of this and more at the Museum of Boulder from now until January 2022, when the Beat Boulder Experiments in Arts and Technology Convivial Machines exhibit closes. I've also got a few links where you can learn more about and reach out to Minso directly. You can find all this information in today's show notes. Make sure to come back in 2 weeks to hear from the mysterious and marvelous Prasanna Kerr, podcaster, medical narrator, creative director extraordinaire. Thanks again for coming to the Wonder Stars universe today. It's a big solar system out there, and I'm happy we can find our way through it together. Wonder Stars of the Universe is an Ebony Freeman Institute original podcast. It's hosted by me, Ebony J.D. Freeman. Music is by the amazing folks at Blue Dot Sessions.